Morning. Today's daf in Nechulin is Nun Aleph. We're Nun Amud Aleph. We fell behind. Today I'm going to make a concerted effort to catch up. Let us pick up right where we left off yesterday. We are on Nun Amud Aleph. We're towards the top of the Amud. Tanya, we begin with a Gemara quoting the Braisa. Chalav was a big part of yesterday's discussion. We talked about various chalav and various fats of the animal. Some of them are easily identifiable, and other parts are not super easily identifiable. We had a machlokus amongst the time between Rabbi Kiv and Rabbi Shmuel yesterday about a certain section of chalav that existed within the animal, specifically around the keva, the fourth stomach of the animal, on the inner bow of the animal. So there exists over there a piece of fat. Is that considered chalav or is that shuman? Is it something which is prohibited or permitted? Chalav, of course, being prohibited. Shuman, of course, being permitted. And so it was a machlokas yesterday. It really was grounded in the question of what are the characteristics of chalav? Does this actually match the characteristics of chalav? And so that was a discussion yesterday. Really interesting discussion in terms of the halacha that we saw yesterday. It was a machlokas. Tanaim was a machlokas between the Chachmei Bavel and the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. The Chachmei Eretz Yisrael were more makel on the matter. The Chachmei Bavel were more machmei on the matter. And Rashi made a comment yesterday, and Rashi said that we are going to be following the Chachmei Bavel because we are, in fact, descendants of Bavel. We are a continuation of the yeshivas of Bavel. Rashi writes, Uli Didan, for us, Tarvayu Asir, they're both going to be prohibited, the Basa B'nei Bavel, Garirin, because we follow the B'nei Bavel, the Anan B'nei Gola Anan, because we are the B'nei Gola, we are the members of the diaspora. And this is Rashi describing Ashkenaz Jewry, obviously. So that in itself is super interesting. We're just going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday with the words Tanya. It is on Nun Amud Aleph. It's about 10 lines down from the top of the Amud. It's the first word in the line. Shimon Gamliel Omer B'nei Ma'am Shenikva V'lecha Sosmas and Ka'ukshera. If I have the B'nei Ma'am, if I have the intestines where the neck of, which would normally render the animal a treifa, but it is plugged and it's plugged with lecha. Lecha over here, Rashi gives a description that this lecha is an internal lecha. Once again, if you want to see a picture of the lecha, this happens to be the kind of picture you really don't want to see. But if you do want to see a picture of the lecha, so you could take a look in Rabbi Lach's Sefer, in the Tmunei Chol, in which he gives a beautiful, it's really a good picture. Now, of course, all I have to do is just find it. Okay, no, I saw it. What's it called? I was sitting with this book yesterday for a while. Okay. It's not in the mountain. No, it's in one of the sections. Okay, forgiveness. I'll here it is. Okay, fine. Okay. 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 Sorry. Page 75. Page 75. Right, a segment of the Reish Maya duodenum. In other words, part of the intestine system, cut open. Show the inner lining of mucus. There it is. And you can take a look and you can see the actual mucus inside. And so the way Rashi describes it and the way you can see here in the picture on page 75, so it actually is a mucus inside that pushes out and covers in the lining. Now again, this is one of the common topics that are discussed throughout the third parak of the Masecht, and that's stimas, and that's ways of plugging up a hole. And generally speaking, we are not in favor of stima, meaning they're just simply not going to rectify the matter. But if the plug over here is coming from a mucus which is internally generated, so that's okay. The Gemara says that's fine. And the Gemara now just simply identifies what we just described and what we just saw in picture. My lecha, so the Gemara says, what is actually lecha? So I'm Rav Kahana, Sirka Demai, Denafek Agavdurcha. It is the mucus that is formed inside that pushes out, but pushes out only with a lot of force. And so therefore the seal is a very good seal. Gemir Chavri de Rabbi Abba, Meir Rabbi Abba, Manu Rabbi Zera. So the colleagues of Rabbi Abba learn from Rabbi Abba. And when we say the colleague, we're referring to Rabbi Zera. V'amala Chavri de Rabbi Zera, Meir Rabbi Zera, Manu Rabbi Abba, or just simply inverted, but in either way. Berei de Rabbi Chia bar Abba, Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halachika Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. And now after having quoted the Braisa, now the Gemara records amongst the Amoraim saying in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that in fact is the halacha, which obviously serves as a kula. It's a leniency. Because now basically what that means is that even though there's a hole, and even though the hole by the B'nai Ma'ayim would render the animal treifa under normal circumstances, but if there's a plug like the one we just described, so then we're going to be mekel, and now the Gemara is saying that in fact is the halacha. So halacha k'Rabbi Shimon Gamliel b'treifa, v'halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ba'aval. And the Gemara says, and also as part of this memra, something which is not related at all to our discussion, but it's just simply part of this memra, and that is when it comes to avelos on one particular issue, the halacha falls like Rabbi Shimon. Now halacha k'Rabbi Shimon Gamliel b'treifa hadamara. Now we have already established what exactly we meant by Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and treifas. That's the plug that we just described. And k'Rabbi Shimon ba'aval ma'hi. Now, as far as Rabbi Shimon and Avelos, what is the issue over there, and what is the halacha? Kol shoshu yamim rishonim. So let's say the first 3 days. In other words, we're describing over here the following. So one of the Krovim did not hear about the Misa. And he was not there for the Kvura, and he's coming late to Shiva. And so now basically the question is, can he pick it up with his family? In other words, his family already started sitting Shiva. And so now they're day one, day two, day three, day four, whatever day they are of Shiva. And now, can he simply pick it up with them? Meaning, unfortunately, he found out late, but okay, but he's here. And so can he pick it up with them? So the Mishnah in Moed Katan, which obviously, it's actually a Braisa, in Moed Katan, which is obviously the source of all the halachas of Avelos. So the Braisa writes, Kol Shoshu Yamim Rishonim Ba'mi Makum Karov Mona Imahem. So for the first 3 days of Avelos, as long as he's coming from an area that's close by, so then he could just simply pick it up with them. Wherever they're up to, he'll just simply sit Shiva where they are and when they are. So it means to say that in the second day of Shiva, so good, so now he's in the second day of Shiva. Mimakam Rachok, however, if he's at a far away distance, Monet La'atzmo. So now that we're going to treat this like a regular Shmua Krova, which basically means that he's going to have to sit Shiva now on his schedule. Mikan Ve'elech Afilabam Mimakam Karov Monet La'atzmo. But after day number three, so at that point in time, even if though he was Mimakam Karav, he was in a close place, so he still has to make his own count and do his own Shiva. And Rabbi Shimon Amar, Afilo B'Yamashriya, Ba Mimakam Karav, Mone Imahem. And Rabbi Shimon Shita is that if it's Mimakam Karav, if he's coming from a close place, doesn't matter what day he comes, he just simply picks up Shiva wherever they're at. So if they're at day four, he'll pick it up with them. Day seven, he'll pick it up with them.
What's the rationale behind it?
It's a good question. Rashi here discusses it just a little bit. The Gemara Moed Katan discusses it more. I'll tell you what. It happens not to be our topic right now. Okay, fine. And we're behind. So anyway. So Amar man dehu. So somebody said, right? Rashi over here writes. We don't know who said it. Meaning the Gemara has it on record that somebody said this, but the Gemara didn't want to not write it. But at the same time, the Gemara also wants to be as honest as possible, and the Gemara, quite frankly, didn't remember who said it. But anyway, Amar Mandahu Iskevisik Vagmar Lishmaisa Mipume Demara. I want to hear this directly from the person himself. Kisal Kashka Chela Rabbi Abba Breder Rabbi Chia Barabbas. So when he finds Rabbi Abba, Amar Amar Halacha Kereshim and Gamliel Betreifa. Did you in fact say the Halacha falls like Kereshim and Gamliel about the seal of the intestines? Amar Le Ha In Halacha Amrei. So his response is, no, it's good that you went to the source, because I didn't say the halacha does follow. I said the halacha does not follow. Good correction. And the Rabbi Shimon ba'aval mai, and what about the other statement about Rabbi Shimon and Avelos? So Amalei plukten inu. So he says, it's a machlokas. De'edma Rav Chista amar halacha, v'chein amar Rabbi Yochanan halacha. We have Amoraim saying that we do follow this leniency. Rav Nachman amar ein halacha. Rav Nachman says we don't follow this leniency regarding Avelos. And the Gemara now arrives at a conclusion on both these points. Regarding the Kula Rishim and Gamliel, can there be a plug generated by the internal mucus to seal up the whole of an intestine? And to that, the Gemara says, the halacha does not follow like Rishim and Gamliel, meaning the answer is no, it doesn't work. The animal is a treifa. And, however, when it comes to Avelos, halacha will follow like the Kula, the leniency of Rabbi Shimon. A line that we hear consistently throughout Moed Katan. And now, as we are referencing a halachic point regarding Avelos, generally speaking, we follow a more lenient position as it relates to Avelos. Avelos in of itself is a din derabanan, generally. And so, therefore, if there is a more lenient shita, generally that's how we follow. All that I say with generalities.
Can we go after the Rosh HaBayis?
Again, on another issue, not this particular issue. Okay, I'm Rav Shimi Bar Chiya. Okay, now we return right back into the halachas of Avelos. Makifim b'mnei va'ayim. So we do hakafa when it comes to the intestines. Now, hakafa is the following. We've described it before, a side-by-side examination and comparison, meaning there was a hole in the intestine. Obviously, it's a problem. It's not a problem. It's a trefa. The animal now is a trefa. And so we would have to now say that the animal's no good. The entire animal's no good. The only saving point we could make is that, well, maybe the hole came after the animal was shechted. Now, if that's true, so then we'd be fine. But we have no way of knowing that, and what we'd be guessing. But the Gemara says under limited circumstances, we can actually do a test. What we'll do is we'll take another piece of the intestine of this animal, and we're going to make a hole in it, and we're going to look. If the hole that we found is going to match the hole that we just created, so that means that it's a recent hole. I guess over the course of time, holes change, and whatever the forensics are, but the hole undergoes some change over the course of time. So if I make a hole now and it matches the hole that we're looking at right now, the hole that we found, so then we could be maker, we could be lenient, and the animal would in fact be saved from being a trefa. Gemara tells a story. So there was intestines that had a hole in it, and they were brought to Rava, and they tried to do this test, this side-by-side comparison, and it didn't match. And so that means to say that the hole that we found must have been a pre-existing hole, and therefore the animal's a trefa. That's what we think. So his son comes along, and memashmish behu v'idme. And what he did is the following. He says, wait one second, hold on. And he went to now the newly formed puncture, and he started handling it, rubbing it with his fingers. And now what happened? Lo and behold, we have a match. Now the new hole that we just created matches the old hole. And Amrale Manalacha, and he says, that was amazing. How did you know that? How did you do that? How did you know how to do that? So Amrale Kamayad Memashmashu Bahani Mikame Delesala Kamei Demar. So he says, look, the intestines that you found the hole in, how many people already handled it? A lot. Rhetorical question. Meaning it was already handled by a lot of people. So in other words, it was a hole, but it was also manipulated and handled by many people. If you wanted a fair comparison with a hole that we're making in a new set, in a side-by-side comparison, so not only do we have to make a hole in it now, but we also have to handle it as well, and you're going to see now that then it's going to be a perfect match. Amalei Chacham Bari B'Trefus K'Rabbi Yochanan. And he said, my son knows as much about Trefus as Rav Yochanan does. Apparently, Rav Yochanan was one of the expert on Marayim regarding Trefus, and he says, you're like Rav Yochanan in this regard. Rav Yochanan...
It's a good test, though, because it may take a week to change. It's not an instant change once, you know.
Okay. The Gemara feels it was fair. Rav Yochanan, Rav Elazar, Da'ami Tarvayu, Makifan Bereya. You could do the side-by-side test regarding a lung as well. Again, we know if a hole is in a lung, lung suffers a perforation, the animal would be rendered a trefa. However, again, if we can find out that the hole was made after the animal was shechted, so then we're good. And a side-by-side test regarding the lungs, so the Gemara says we could do that. The Gemara says, okay, but in other words, if we're doing side-by-side comparison, it has to be on the same row. Remember, as we already described, the lungs and the anatomy of the lungs. So there is the main lobes, the umos, with a mem, and then there are the smaller lobes, the unas, right, the cranial lobes. And there's three on the right, and there's two on the left, and there's actually one on the underside. Okay, but in the meantime, however, when doing the side-by-side test, it has to be on the same row. You have to be comparing apples for apples, or, right, on the same side of the lungs. The Gemara says, however, the halach allows a leniency. When I do a side-by-side test, we could be doing it even on the other side of the lungs. Now, when comparing the lungs, it has to be small to small or large to large. Again, when doing these side-by-side comparisons, I have to be comparing apples to apples. Now, when it says daka and gasa, so it could mean a couple of things. It could mean that we're talking about small animals versus large animals, or more probably what it's talking about is that the large lobes versus the small lobes. And again, they behave differently when punctured. And so therefore, if I want to do a side-by-side comparison, I have to do small lobe to small lobe, large lobe to large lobe. Abai v'ravi dami tavaya makifim bekana. Again, the Gemara now discusses another organ that would render the animal a trefa if punctured. And again, a side-by-side test to see whether or not the puncture was newly formed. You could do it even by the trachea. Amar Rav Papa lo amar ala ba'osa chulia v'amechulia l'chulia lo. Okay, that's true, but you have to be within this ring. The trachea, as we discussed already numerous times, that our masechta is made up of cartilage, of rings of cartilage. And so when doing the test, you have to be doing it in the cartilage, in that particular cartilage, to make sure that it is a fair side-by-side test. We're comparing apples to apples. The Gemara says, although the halacha actually is more lenient, I can compare this cartilage ring to a different cartilage ring of the trachea. When doing another one of these side-by-side tests, it has to be chulia to chulia, not chulia to bar chulia. What is meant by that? If you take a look on page 75, right? We're sitting on page 75. So if you look at page 75, when you cut open on a cross section of the trachea, you're going to see the cartilage is thick in one area and thin in another area. The thick area of the cartilage is called the chulia. The thin area of the cartilage is called the bar chulia. And so therefore, when making the side-by-side comparison, if the hole's in the chulia, so you have to make another hole in the chulia. If the hole's in the bar chulia, you have to make another hole in the bar chulia. Amr ziri. Chachol shenikva, kshera. The Gemara now is at the area of the rectum of the animal. What about a hole in the rectum of the animal? So because there are other supportive areas in that area of the animal, so a hole in the rectum would not render the animal a trefa. Rashi actually writes over here physiologically that even with a hole in the rectum, but still the excrement is still going to go outside of the animal. The excrement will not go internally into the cavity of the animal. You take a look at the bottom Rashi over here. Ain the last two lines of the Rashi. Ain derech harei hayotzi derech hanek of lachzor lachor v'lipol l'soch chalal haguf. It's not going to go into the cavity. Mimnei shemakum dachuku ashezer malamala v'atzamas alya shikorin anakas. Umikan ulamata min mechuburim bechasmos. So basically, what Rashi describes is that there's so much supportive area, bones and tissues around that area. So a hole in the rectum would not render the animal a trefa. Vikama. Now, when we're describing the rectum, what are we describing? I'm a Rabbi Yelai. I'm a Rabbi Yochanan. Makom hadevek berubo, the place where it clings at its majority. Shalom b'makom hadevek b'mashu. Now, if it's not at this area where it is sticking, it is connectively, it's connected to many other of the parts of the animal, so then it's a mashu, even the smallest amount. Amur Rabban Kamei Rav Mishmei Rav Nachman Amar Lav Mi Amina Lechulo Tislu Bei Buke Sarike. So he says, look, don't give these attributions in what is an expression of the Gemara of Buke Sarike in basically empty vessels. In other words, you are giving attribution which is not a proper attribution. Hachem Rav Nachman, but this is in fact what Rav Nachman said. Makom Adevek Afilanita Kulo Kasher. In the Makom Adevek, at the rectum, at the tail end of the animal. I don't literally mean tail, but at the rectum, at the end of the animal, the end of the GI tract. So even if all of it were to be removed, it would still be Kasher V'hush Nishayah Bo Kedei Tfisa. As long as there's just the smallest connection between the rectum and the animal. So a kidei tfisa, the kamara amabai, kimlo, bidita, bitura. Rashi describes it as basically an etzba, about an inch. In other words, as long as there is an inch of connective tissue connecting the rectum to the animal, so then the animal would not be rendered a trefa. Okay. Hakarasa panimi. The Gemara coming up right now is, right, obviously a lot of technical Gemaras coming up over here regarding the anatomy of the animal. And here, we are going to get really, really technical. We are now going to be describing the keres, the first stomach of the animal, English anatomically referred to as the rumen. And the Gemara over here now is going to be discussing the following. We know in our Mishnah, you go all the way back to the Mishnah, Mem Beis Amud Aleph, and we know that in the keres it's divided to two parts, the keres achitza and the keres apanimi. We also know, as taught to us by the Mishnah, all the way back on Mem Beis Amud Aleph, Hakeres HaPanimi, when it comes to the inner keres, shenikva, shenikva. When it comes to the keres HaPanimi, a perforation would render the animal a trefa. Then when it comes to the chitzona, the quote-unquote outer keres, nikra rov hachitzona. The majority of it has to be opened up. So we know halachically, there's a difference between the keres HaPanimi and the keres HaChitzona. That's what we know. Here's where it gets difficult. The keres ha'panimi and keres ha'chitzon is taking this organ and dividing it into two sections. And the only adjectives we have in our Mishnah describing these two sections is the panimi, the inner, and the chitzon, the outer. And if you take a look at the rumen, so what you'll note is it's a large pouch. It's a single large pouch. You want us to take a look at it in picture, you can go to page 74, where there is a wonderful, the pictures of the keres throughout the Sefer, right? You can get it from so many different ways. If you want to see an inside of the keres, I also marked that off. There we go. Page 124. Page 124 also does a wonderful job. He opened up the animal entirely. He opened up the keres, and he has a picture of the inside as well. And I'll do one more for you today. Okay. I had a lot of time yesterday. Thank God. So I was sitting there studying bovine anatomy. As far as the keres is concerned. So we discussed already this extensively. By the way, all this information I'm giving you is found on page 128. There are four stomachs to a ruminating animal, and the first is the keres, the first is the largest. That is where the food, the first goes into after it goes through the esophagus. And the first stomach and the last stomach, the keres and the cava, is the only two stomachs that actually digest the food. The basakosos and the hemstase, which is stomachs 2 and 3, so they're basically storage areas for the food. But actual digestion occurs in 1 and 4. He writes over here, the decay in the first stomach, the keres, produces byproducts, including ethyl alcohol, that are absorbed from the stomach directly into the bloodstream. This absorption is done by the milas. Now you're going to see that word in just a moment in the Gemara, and that is, milas literally means wool, but it's basically the interior hair. He refers to it as the cilia that line the inside of the rumen. Okay, that's just one
they
of the.
They call it milas before they called it seer. He talked how far down on the way should he get shared.
Correct. We discussed this before. We discussed this point earlier. Okay, and by the way, if you again take a look at this picture of the keres on page 124 and 125, so you'll see that if you opened up the keres and were asked the question, there's a keres ha'panimi and there's keres ha'chitzon. Okay, now knock yourself out. Go figure out now which one's a panimi and which one's a chitzon. Now, obviously, by the way, it's critical to know the difference because in halacha, a nekev of the panimi renders the animal trefa. Mm-hmm. By the chitzona, you need majority of it opened up in order for it to be a trefa. So we know halachically it makes all the difference in the world. And so now, so go ahead, figure it out, which one's which. So obviously that's difficult. So the Gemara now is going to give us opinions. Now, when I say the Gemara is going to give us opinions, so I count now in my Gemara 7 different opinions amongst the Amoraim how to make this distinction between the keres ha'panimi and the keres ha'chitzona. So that means to say, of course, that the Amoraim themselves struggled over this very issue of giving identification to what is what. Okay, good. And so we're going to try. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these Gemaras coming up right now. I gave an overview and there is a lot of discussion. And here, and Rabbi Lack's wonderful Sefer, so he really does help navigate through a lot of these opinions. But we're going to go through them quickly because they are not all of them are easily identifiable. Mm-hmm. And it requires a long discussion. So I'm saying it on the front end. We're going to go through these Gemaras quickly. I'm reviewing on Rav Hei Nassan Bar Shila Reish Tavachya Ditzipare. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav, giving testimony by Nassim Bar Shila, who happens to have been a chief butcher in Sipori, Lifnei Rebbe, and he did so in front of Rebbe. This is obviously Rebbe's hometown. Mishum Rebbe Nassan, Ezu Keres Apnimi, Sanyadivi. So the Keres Apnimi is a reference to the Sanyadivi. Now, of all the opinions over here, the Sanyadivi is by far and away one of the more interesting opinions because the Sanyadivi is well into the GI tract, meaning the Sanyadivi is after the small intestines. If you take a look at the animal and you go through the intestines of the animal, Sanyadivi follows, it's well after the stomachs, it's after the small intestine, and I think in English, anatomically, it's referred to as a cecum. So anyway, it's not all the way at the end of the animal, the end of the GI tract, but it's not that far off from it. And really interesting also, he refers to it as a sanyadivi. Sanyadivi literally translates as that which the wolf hates. Meaning the wolf obviously is going to attack the animal, kill the animal, and eat the animal. And the wolf loves most every part of the animal except for this part. Which actually makes a lot of sense, because if you think about it, what's in the Sanya Divi? So basically the feces. So I can understand why the wolf would say thank you, but no thank you to the Sanya Divi. Okay, great. And of course it's interesting because we're describing the keres apanimi, and we're really far away from the keres, anatomically. Okay. So v'chein amar Rav Yeshua ben Karcha Sanya Divi. Okay, good. And Rav Yeshua also, ben Karcha, has a similar misara. A second opinion, Rabbi Shmuel Amar, istumka de karsa. It's the closest word we're going to have in the Gemara to the word stomach. Right? Istumka. In fact, if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi says, ani shamati istumka belaz. Stomach. Okay, so if I could try to say this in English, it sounds funny in English. So where's the stomach? Oh, it's the stomach. Okay, good. So anyway, but again, he's obviously referencing to an area. What area is he referencing to? So see Rashi and see the good book of Tumen Echol for descriptions of that. Next. So Rav Asi Amar Rav Yochanan Malkum Tsar Yesh Bekeres Ve'eini Yodea Eizu. So Rav Yochanan now says, Rav Asi quotes Rav Yochanan saying that, look, it's a narrow area of the keres, but he says, but I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not sure. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Nafal Karsa Bebira. So thank you, but no thank you, says Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Why don't we just take the entire keres and throw it into the pit? In other words, if you can't help us identify what the keres apanimi is versus the keres achitzona, so basically we're throwing it away. In other words, what, how did you help us? Okay. Amar Rav Acha Bar Ravava Amar Rav Asi Min Ameitzo Lamata. So the Gemara over here, again, attempts to help us understand the narrow edge, Min Ameitzar Ulamata. And again, see Rashi over here for a description of what this may in fact be, some narrow section of the rumen itself. So Rabbi Yaakov Bar Nachman Amar Shmuel Makom She'ein Bo Milas. The area in the rumen that doesn't have melas, it doesn't have the cilia. Okay, so in other words, again, if you're taking a look at the picture, you're going to find that almost the entirety of the rumen is filled with this papilla, the cilia. But as you're moving now to the esophagus, so it doesn't have it over there. So basically, it's that small section next to the esophagus. Rabbi Avina Amar Gneva Mishvei Darav Tefach Beveshet Samach LeKeres Zui Keres HaPnimi. If basically we're looking at that last tefach of the esophagus, as it's about to enter into the rumen, so that end of the esophagus canal, that's the keres apnimi. Amrim b'ma'arava mishmed rav yosi b'rabichinen kol keres kulu zuhi keres apnimi. So the Gemara records another opinion. This is number 6 as I have it in my Gemara, as I numbered it. So the entire rumen, the entire keres is in fact the keres apnimi, which... wonderful. Now, what's left? Meaning, if that's the keres apanim, what's the keres achitzon? Oh, v'ezu keres achitzon, basar chofetz rova keres. Oh, it's actually the muscle lining of the chest. Meaning, the keres achitzon is not actually keres; it's actually the muscular lining of the chest of the animal. Okay. And opinion number 7, Rava Baravuna Amar Mafrata. So he describes it using one word. Now, it would help, of course, if we knew what that one word meant. So basically, where the tabachim open it up. Meaning, as the animal's hanging, remember, the animal's always going to be hanging by its hind legs. So it is facing you, but upside down. And from where you're looking at it, it's going to be now reversed. But now, when the butcher gets to the keres, and he's going to open up a certain place, that's the keres apnimi. But Narda of the Karaba Baravuna. Now in Narda, what was the practice? The practice was like Rava Baravuna. Meaning that the place where the butchers opened up the keres, that's the keres apanimi. So I'm like Ravashi Lamemer, Klanichmat Damai.
The belly.
Okay, again, this would be much more helpful if we saw it, if we knew, but okay. Okay. I told you, it's a moving target. It's hard really for us to identify. So Amalei Rav Ashla Meimer Kol Hanishmata Tamai. What about all the other opinions? So Amalei Kulu Shaychem B'Derava B'Rav Huna. So the Gemara says, well, a lot of the other opinions, and you could take a look at Rashi over here, where he actually sifts through all the opinions, and a lot of them can actually correspond to Rava B'Rav Huna, the place where the butcher opens it up. Okay. It is difficult, by the way, because Rashi, one of the previous shitas that he aligns with Rava Barav Huna is the Sanya Divi. The Sanya Divi is really far away, as we already pointed out. So that's difficult, and okay, and just an admission that I know a little bit more than what I'm giving away, but only a little bit more. So anyway, so but the Rav Bar Rav Huna, Ude Rav Asi Amar Rav Yochanan, what are you going to do with the opinion of Rav Asi Amar Rav Yochanan? And that was opinion number 3 of the list of opinions that we have. So the Gemara says, Amalei Kvar Pirsha Rav Acha Bar Ava Ude Rabbi Avina Ude Menim Bar Ava. I'm sorry, Kvar Pirsha Rav Acha Bar Ava. So he says, okay, but that was already explained by Rav Acha Bar Ava. Mina Meitzar Ulamata. And again, it could coordinate with this position over here. Ude Rabbi Avinu Ude Menema Rav Amai. So the Gemara says, what are you going to do about the shitas of Rabbi Avina and the Menema Rava, whose positions certainly don't coordinate with our position over here? Right? For example, the Menema Rava, remember they said that the entire Keres is a Keres of Panimi, and the Keres of Chitzon is not the actual Keres itself. That doesn't accord with this position. So Amalei Hanivade Pligi. And so he acknowledges, he says, you know what, you're right. In other words, so the last opinion that was recorded in the Gemara, that of Rav Bar Rav Huna, can be aligned with most of the previous opinions, but not all of them. Okay, and we continue. Rabbi Huna Amar Rabbi Gedola. If you'll take a look all the way back at the Mishnah on Mem Beis, so we brought in the opinion of Rabbi Huda regarding the Keres. Rabbi Huda's position regarding the Keres is that HaGedola Tefach VaKatana Beruba. If we're talking about a large animal, it is a tefach. If we're talking about a small animal, it's the majority. At least that's how I thought the Mishnah stated when it said gedol and ketana. The Gemara now corrects my understanding. And what, you know, I guess we can say is our understanding. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Bigdola Amar, Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefes Amar Rav Lozer, lo gedola gedola mamish, lo ketana ketana mamish. So even though that was a way to read the Mishnah, but don't read the Mishnah that way. That's not what gedol and ketana mean. Basically, what Rabbi Huda meant is as follows. When opening up the keres, hachitzona, what would render the animal a trefa? Or this or this? What's this or this? Either it's a really small keres, and by opening up the majority of it, even though it's not a tefach, that would render it a trefa. Or if it's, let's say, a larger animal and a tefach of it opened up, a linear tefach, that would render it a trefa. That's what Rabbi Yehuda meant.
Even if it's not rov.
Even if it's not rov. Ruba v'lavi tefach pshita. The Gemara says, well, if it's rov, well, isn't that point obvious? The Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Lo tzricha d'avi tefach b'mashehu. So let's say that it happens to be that's a really small keres, and let's say that it did open up majority, but that majority was under a tefach. Just a short amount I wrote in my Gemara seven and a half years ago, 0.999. That was very cute. So let's say it was just short of a tefach. So ma'u detema demikra ba tefach, la vitrefa kamash malon. So the Gemara has a havamina. Well, look, it's not a tefach, so therefore it's not a shear, so therefore it's not a trefa. Okay, kamash malon. Amar Geniva Amar Rabbi Asi and Nikdara Kisela Trefa. If, let's say, there's a hole in the keres, in the rumen, and it's the size of a sella, it would be a trefa. Why? Shem Timtach Tamod Ala Tefach. Because what you could do is you could stretch it out and would then be linear a size of a tefach. Amar Rabbi Chia Baraba Lididim Efrash Lemine De Geniva Amabra De Naharda. You know, not only did he tell me, but I remember where we were when he told me. We're on the Nahardah Bridge. And Kisela Kshera. Yes, or me Kisela Trefa. So it's got to be, the hole's got to be a little bit bigger. Not the size of a cella, but larger than a cella. Vikama yes, or me Kisela. So the Gemara says, okay, but we're discussing halacha over here. Give me a better way of describing the shear. I'm Rav Yosef Kagon Da'ilit Klas Kashisa B'tzibi B'duchka and below Tzibah B'ravcha. So you could fit 3 date pits through that hole when the dates have just a little bit of the flesh of the date on it, and it fits in tightly, the date pits themselves have no flesh on them, but they can fit in comfortably into the hole of the Besa Keres. Okay. Continuing in the Gemara, Hemsis of Besa Kosos. We are now up to stomach number 2 and 3 of the animal. Hemsis of Besa Kosos. Interesting that when the Gemara records it, it records it in the reverse order, meaning the Besa Kosos is really the second stomach, physiologically. But okay. Anyway, the Hemsis and Besa Kosos. Tana Rabbanan. The Gemara here quotes the Braisa. Machash in Mrs. Bova Besakosos. If let's say I have a needle that is found in the wall of the Besakosos, Mitzadecha Ksher Mishnei Tzadim Shefa. If it does not penetrate all the way through, the animal would be kosher. If it penetrates all the way through, going from one side to the other, the animal would in fact be a trefa. Nimsa la kor dam. Now, again, we go back to a question that we raised earlier this morning. What if we found, what if we can know that the hole that was produced happened after the shechita? Now again, under normal circumstances, there's no way of knowing. And yes, we spent some time in today's daf going over some sort of side-by-side testing. But generally speaking, how are we going to know? How are we going to know the needle penetrated all the way through before the shechita, after the shechita? So the Gemara says, actually, when it comes to the basakosis and the hemsis and the needle going through them, we are going to know. And that is that if I see a drop of blood on the needle, so biyadua, nimsa ala koradam biyadua, we're now on the top of nanalef and aleph, so shalefne shechita. So we know that it happened before shechita. But lo nimsa ala koradam biyadua shalach shechita. However, if there's no blood on it, so then we know that this penetration occurred after the animal was shechted, and the animal, therefore, is not a trefa. Now, here we get to a really interesting halacha. And we're still in the Braisa. The higlid pi hamake. Now, let's say that there is a hole in the stomach between the basakosis and the hemsis. It renders the animal a trefa. And this hole's been there for some time. How do I know? Once again, forensics. So there's a scab that grew over the hole, and so therefore I know the hole's been there for a long time. At least 3 days it's been there. I know it's been there for 3 days. What does that mean? Really interesting halacha. I can get a refund. Sure. I'll go to the herder, I'll go to the farmer, and I said, you sold me a defective animal. And so therefore I demand a refund. And not only can you demand it, you're entitled to a refund. How well you see the cattle herder says to you, well, how do you know that this condition existed before? He says, well, the scab. The scab tells me that it was there for 3 days. I bought it from you within 3 days ago, and so therefore I'm entitled to a refund. Now, obviously, this is a really interesting halacha because there was no way that the cattle herder was going to know that there was a hole in the stomach of the animal. Right, they didn't have an MRI back then, and you know, CAT scans, PET scans, there were, you know. you don't obviously, right? And so therefore, if it's defective, so you're entitled to a refund. Really interesting. Really interesting. The Gemara quotes over here the name of the. I'm sorry, not the Gemara. Sorry, the Rishonim quote in the name of the Bala Itter. He says that there are defects, and then there are defects. For example, the Bala Itter writes, let's say there was a sircha in the lung. You can't demand a refund for that. And it makes a lot of sense because that's something that is, there is an assumption of risk. Yeah. When you're buying an animal and there may be a sircha in the lung, that's a real possibility. And so therefore, that's the kind of defect where the buyer assumes that kind of risk. Mm-hmm. But something like a needle penetrating through the stomachs, the basakosis and the hemsis of the animal, that's something that's so unlikely. That's a defect which was really not expected, even though, as I've already pointed out, there's no way the cattle herder knew that this existed. But nevertheless, because we know for sure, for certain, that this existed at the time of the sale, so therefore a refund can be demanded.
Is that because of his negligence?
No.
No exception for needle, but anything else?
I don't know. It's a defect. I bought a defective product. So again, there's a certain assumption of risk that you have and certain ones you do not have. So however, lo higli pi amaka motzi mechaveru alav araya. However, if there is no scab on the wound, so that means to say now that we simply do not know when the hole occurred. And so now the cattle herder says now to the butcher who just bought the animal and shechted the animal, look, I'm really sorry, but you don't know when it happened, I don't know when it happened, and right now I'm holding the money, hamotzi mechaveru alav araya. You need definitive proof in order to get the money back. Tarif mar, and a question. We said that when it comes to the needle going through and puncturing the basakosis and the hemsis, well, if there's blood, I know it happened before the shechita, and therefore the animal's a trefa. Otherwise, we could say that definitively, it's not a trefa. Now, we are now 10 dapim into this perek. This is the first time we're hearing about some way of knowing whether the hole occurred before or after the shechita. Why now? So the Gemara says, because Hasam like Amida Lemisrach, Hachakemedika Machat, I Isidakom Shitahu, Misrach Havisarach. So the Gemara says, because it's not just a hole, it's a needle right there. And so therefore, if in fact this were to have occurred before the Shechita, there would have been blood on the needle because now the blood has something to stick to. Previously, when we were just talking about holes and perforations, so there's nothing to look at. There's nothing for the blood to stick to. Amalei Rav Safra La'abaye Chazimar, Haitzurba Merabanan De'asam Ema Rava. The Amar Rav Avira Shameini. The Amar Maiso Uba Lefanai, Rebbe Macha Shinim Sizbo Ve'beis HaKosu Mitzad Echad V'tarfa. So Rav Safra says to Abaye, let me tell you. There is this traveling Rav, and his name is Rav Avira, and there was an incident that happened where there was a needle that penetrated the base of Kosos on one side, and he tarfened it. And so Abaye says, I gotta meet this rabbi. Got him. Now, it's really interesting because it says that the incident happened before Rebbe. And just historically, I know you like this part. Yeah. So historically now it's really a little bit unusual, because now Abaye is going to be having a discussion with somebody who had a psak with Rebbe Yehuda Anasi. Yeah. Abaye was in the middle of the period of the Amorayim. So in other words,
a couple hundred years.
Right. So historically, it is a little bit challenging to make heads and tails of the story. What you could say very simply is that Rebbe over here is not a reference to Rebbe Yehuda Anasi. You could say that. But anyway, again, the Gemara says the word Rebbe. So,
Rav was the Talmud of Rebbe, so he didn't see Abaye either.
So, okay, right. Okay, again, I know you enjoy that part, so I mentioned it. So the Ba'ovi Beis HaKotz Mitzad Echa V'Tarfa. So Abaye says, okay, call him over. Meaning, so he summoned him. I mean, not like a legal summons, not like a Beis Din summons, but like, okay, come over here, like, let's discuss this. And lo asa lagabe. And an awkward exchange over here between this Rav and Abaye. The Rav did not want to speak to Abaye. Gemara doesn't give us the details. The Gemara does not tell us why. But anyway, it gets awkward. It gets more awkward. So Abaye says, okay, so if he's not going to come to speak to me, so I'll go to him. So Avakaya Igra. So now Abaye's on the first floor, and this Rav is now on the second floor, and Abaye calls out to him, and he says, come down, let's talk. And Amar Nechos Marvinesi. So come down and let's discuss this. Lo Nachas. So again, he didn't come down. He didn't want to talk to Abaye. We could speculate. I don't know why. So Salakula Gabe. So Abaye says, okay, so, right? So if I know it's not the right venue to say the expression, but if the mountain is, if Muhammad, if the mountain doesn't come to Muhammad, and okay, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, so right, it's not the right venue. Anyway, so Salakula Gabe. So the Gemara says, okay, so Abaye went to go see him. Amale Emily Gufa da Abduhu Hechiava. And so now, even though the guy was certainly reluctant. By the way, the Musar Haskell of the Gemara is very simple. Meaning, get over yourself, and if you need to learn something, and even though the person's being difficult, but in other words, Torah hi v'sarchi l'lamda. The Musar is very simple. Right? You learn Torah even though, like, it's, you know, this guy's not going to go speak to me. Like, who is he? All right? I'm Abaye. Abaye didn't behave that way. Abaye, you know, wanted to learn, and so he learned, and even though some of his honor was disrespected, but it doesn't matter. Okay. So anyway, that's the Musar Haskel. Gufa duv de hachiavi. So Amalei mafter kinesios ana le'elami Rebbe Rabba. So it happens to have been, I was the mafter kinesios. That's an expression you do not see in the Gemara. Mafter kinesios. Rashi describes this position that this rabbi had as basically he was the gabbai of the shul, right? Mafter kinesios. Escorted people in, escorted people out. Some people need escorts in both directions. Okay, again, we can only speculate. I don't know. So anyway, so Mafter Kinesios Ana Leila Me Rebbe Rabba. So in front of the great Rebbe, so I was the Mafter Kinesios. That was my job. V'havi Ravuna Tzipara Rabbi Yosi Mada Yoshun Lefanu V'Valafanav Rebbe Machashanim Says Bovei Beis Hakosos Mitzad Echad. So there's a needle that went through on one side. Now at this point in time, we should say to ourselves, okay, so the animal's like Shera. And meanwhile, Rebbe tarfened it. But now we get we get another detail of the story, an important detail of the story. Havcha Rebbe umatza ala karadam. So Rebbe just simply turned it over to the other side and found not only full penetration of the needle through both sides of the stomachs, but also blood. The Amri main shamaka karadam inayin. Okay, so obviously this was a puncture that occurred before the Shechita. Otherwise, where is the blood coming from? And so that's why Rebbe tarfened it. So Abaye says, really? Really? Now that I got the whole story, I thought I was going to learn something exciting, right? The needle only went through one side and Rebbe tarfened it, and I don't understand. I thought that wasn't the halacha. And meanwhile, now that I got the full story, what I learned is the needle made it all the way through. And there was blood on the needle. And we know that already. See, he says, okay, that's the Braisa. So he went through all that trouble and he didn't learn anything new. Okay. Why?
This Baftur Kadesio, he refers, Rabbi usually don't have a title.
Okay.
He says Rabbi, and then he says, Ibul if the Rabbi, Macha Chanim Tsas.
Okay, fine. Okay.
It was Rabbi.
I tell you what, Rashi says it's Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. That's...
I don't know, but here...
I do know, I'm looking at Rashi.
Yeah, but if you read the Gemara straightforward...
Okay, fine, but I also have Rashi. Okay, good. Nuffle Minagog. Okay, and now concussion protocol. Okay. Thank you. Concussion protocol. Now we are up to the next case of the Mishnah, the next one of the trefers of the Mishnah. And so, this is blunt trauma. In other words, it's one of the more interesting of the trefers where there's no nekev, there's no severance. Over here, it's just simply blunt trauma. And what did we learn in the Mishnah? We learned in the Mishnah that Nephilim and Agag is one of the Yurches trefers, is one of the 18 trefers. And so it falls from the roof and it suffers now trauma. And so the animal now is a trefer. Now this one... there is testing, and there's ways to know whether it is or it isn't a trefa, but the idea is very simple. If it suffered blunt trauma, so then the animal is basically going to be in a critical state, and therefore is a trefa. That's an oversimplification, but that's the starting point. So, Amrav Huna Inech Behema Lamala Ova Masa Lamata In Choshe Mishum Misuke Evar. Let's say the animal was up high, and then I didn't see the fall, but I see now the animal on the ground. So the Gemara says, don't worry. Meaning, smart animal. When I say smart animal, I mean relatively speaking, you know, as animals go, and that means to say that the animal jumped, controlled. It did not suffer any blunt trauma. There was a goat that Ravina had, and it saw barley through the skylight. Meaning, it was up on a height, and it saw barley on the skylight and dagar nafam igra la'ara. And therefore, it jumped to get the barley, but what it did not notice is that there was a skylight over there, and it fell right through the skylight. So, even though we just quoted the halacha, that if you see the animal up and then down, at a height and then below, and you don't know what happened, so you can assume that the animal safely landed. But is that because it could scale down the wall? There's that possibility. But over here, it fell through a sunlight. It fell through a skylight. So there's no walls to help control the fall. Or maybe no. Maybe we just simply say that the animal knows its limitations, and the animal knows if it can suffer this jump, make the jump, or not make the jump. So amalei mishum da amda nafsha, v'hainam amda nafsha. And he says the correct way to understand the halacha is that the animal knows. The animal knows its limitations and knows what it can jump and what it cannot jump. And if the animal is making the jump and you didn't see the fall, you can assume that the animal safely made it. Hahu imrasa dahave be'rav chaviva dahave shadran kar'e basraisa. There was a lamb, an imrasa, female lamb, that Rav Chaviva had, where it was dragging its hind feet. I'm Rav Yemer, hi, shigruna nakte. So he says that just cramps, okay? And again, I'll show you another Rashi for today, where Rashi actually says the word cramps. Good. Yeah, good. So, nakte. Maskev la ravina v'dilma chud ha-shadra ifsik. The Gemara says, well, maybe it suffered an injury in the vertebrae, and specifically in the spinal cord. Batku ha-shkachu ha-ravina. And the Gemara says that it's exactly as Ravina suggested and diagnosed. So the the Gemara says, but meanwhile, the halacha falls on Rav Yemer. Meaning in this particular case, Rav Yemer was right, but generally speaking, the dragging of its hind legs is attributable to cramps, and therefore the animal is not a trefa. Because most probably when the animal is dragging its hind legs, it is more attributable to cramps, and therefore the animal is generally not a trefa. Let's say you see the animals that are actually goring one another. So, ein choshem mishum risukei avarim. So, don't worry about concussion. Okay, so they can play their version of football, and they are not going to be a trefa. Afagav demidve v'kaimei simra. I'm sorry, v'kaimei. Now, you're going to hear some groaning afterwards, but the Gemara says, simra ba'amahu, nakat lehu. It's just a fever, meaning that's a natural result of engaging in this kind of behavior, but it's not going to render the animal trefa. Enough la'aravad de'chayshinan, however, if it crumbles to the ground, so then we get at the concussion protocol, the animal has now suffered the blunt trauma. Amar Rav Menashe, hani dichre de ganvei, ganvein en choshishim mishum risukei varim. Ma'itami kishaduluhu am masnaisu shaduluhu. Such a wonderful halacha over here. So the robbers are stealing the animals, and now they are, and this is the old expression, they are fencing the animals, throwing the animal over the fence. The Gemara says, don't worry, the animal has not suffered any kind of blunt trauma, because remember, what the thieves want is a healthy animal. When they throw the animal over the fence, they're going to make sure to throw it so that the animal will land on its legs. Because they want the animals to run. And however, if let's say the thieves get scared and they throw the animals back into the pen. When they're throwing the animals back into the pen, they don't care how the animal lands. And so therefore, that's nefula, and that is a trefa. However, if let's say the thieves now decide, let's change our career path. We don't want to be thieves anymore. And so therefore, they just simply return the animals because of tshuva. Obviously, the animal is not a trefa. In other words, they're going to throw the animals back carefully. They may, in fact, even deliver the animals back. Let's say you hit the animal, either on its tail or on its head, or you hit it over the entirety of its spine. So when you give it a clop like that, so that does not, it's not the same as nefula. In other words, we need blunt trauma, but at the same time, it's just a regular hit with a stick is not create this kind of blunt trauma. Vishalim chutra apaga degava chayshinan. However, if let's say the entire stick is going over the entirety of the back, so then we are concerned. Viz be kitre chayshinan. Now, if the stick itself has got knots in it, so in other words, the force of the stick is not spread out, distributed throughout the entire stick, but the force is coming with the knots. So then the animal is in fact going to be a trefa, meaning that's trauma, and the animal's a trefa. V'imachya apaske chayshinan. Now let's say instead of hitting the animal lengthwise, we go crosswise. I'm now standing perpendicular to the animal and hitting on the back. That would be in fact trauma, and that's nefula. Amar Rav Nachman Beis Arechem inbo mishum risukei evarim. An animal having gone childbirth, that's not risuk evarim. Meaning even though that's traumatic, but nevertheless, that's not considered trauma enough, so that should be considered risuk evarim. Rashi understands that we're talking about the baby that's born. That's the way Rashi says it. So, Rav Nachman telling the Messiah, the Gemara says, I have a braisa, tinuk ben yom echad, mitame beziva. So we know that a child that one day old is mitame beziva. You know, we'll pause over here. I will start explaining this tomorrow. I got so excited that we are catching up. And we are not caught up, but definitely catching up.